Today, the Senate sits for a test on behalf of the entire nation. It's a test of American resolve, our readiness, and our willingness to lead. And the stakes of failure are abundantly clear. Failure to help Ukraine stand against Russian aggression now means inviting escalation against our closest treaty allies and trading partners. It means greater risk that American forces would become involved in conflict. It means more costly deployments of our military and steeper military requirements to defend against aggression.
I just think that if you're going to go out there and you're going to sit here and talk about the, you know, how detrimental it is, make it more entertaining than that. Because I just, you know, it's Mitch McConnell, and I just wanted to fall asleep listening to him prattle on. You know, you're talking about our tax dollars. Make it, at least give me a show, right? Take me to dinner before you sit here and take advantage of me. You know, buy me a steak dinner before you take advantage of me, for crying out loud. You know, I just saying, I just feel like that should be the way to go. Welcome to the show. It's another day that ends in Y. It's the same stuff that we're dealing with every day. I'm waiting for the election because I just want to see how crazy the left gets, and I want to see the conventions, and I want to see all the craziness, and I want to see everybody sit here and fight over who's a Russian stooge and et cetera, et cetera. So welcome to the show. Dana Lash with you, top of this first hour here, and got a number of things to discuss, including all the latest with the DC machinations, and then of course we're going to get into the college brats. They're grown adults. I don't know why I'm calling them brats, because they're grown adults, but the college protest. And I do think it's interesting. Didn't Biden say that he got into the race because of what Trump had said after Charlottesville? Isn't that what he had said?
I think so, yeah.
So there were the people with the tiki torches. You would probably say, because of some of the stuff they were saying, they're probably anti-Semites. Uh-huh. Right?
Oh, that's fair.
So they were there with their tiki torches. Those were the Abercrombie and Bitch Bros, who were there with their tiki torches. And we missed you yesterday, Kane. Nobody laughed at my jokes. Depressed. They were out there with their tiki torches. They all went, you know, they went, the Fed boy, I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to say that. They went to the boys, they went to Lowe's or the Home Depot, and they got their tiki torches. It's like 4 for $30 or something. I don't know. That's what it was. Those were pre-Biden inflation prices. They went and did that, and then they went to Charlottesville, and they marched around like a, you know, bunch of D-bags. And that was really bad. And the Democrats campaigned on it. Joe Biden got into the race because of it. Well, what do you think is going on at these college campuses? There's no justifying this thing. I see these people protesting, and my first thought was, y'all didn't get your ass beat enough when you were a kid. That's what's wrong. That's what's wrong with y'all. There was not enough discipline in y'all's homes when you were growing up, because you're doing this stuff. You're at Ivy League universities. I have zero, all of these pro-Hamas protesters, why don't y'all just sign up and y'all can go and fight for Hamas? Go down in the tunnels and y'all can go fight for Hamas. You want to do it. You want to do it anyway. And if you have no idea, the people who have no idea about the geography, you're just prostitutes for terrorists. It's all you. I have nothing nice to say. What I really want to say goes beyond what I'm allowed to by my government, because censorship is real on public airwaves. So I have nothing nice to say. I have nothing nice to say today. I feel like B. Arthur today. I'm in that mood. I put up on Instagram, I'm a ray of sunshine last night, and it was B. Arthur and the Teletubby sun. And I feel like that right now. That's my life. It's my spirit. I'm two spirit. I'm B. Arthur and me right now. That's what two spirit means. But I see these college kids out there. They canceled, from what I understand, not all classes, but in-person classes at Columbia, literally for the rest of the semester. I don't know how long their semester lasts, but I'm sure that they still have finals to get through. Tell me how difficult that's going to be to take your finals and et cetera, when you can't even like go on campus. They don't have their in-person classes on campus anymore because of the virus of stupidity. That's why they've canceled it. The virus of absolute stupidity. So they're there protesting for Hamas. That's what they're there for. That's it. So there's no other justification for it. And they've been screaming. They're making it to where Jewish students don't feel safe. They've been screaming. I mean, I can't play for you half of the video that I come across. I really can't, because we'd have to censor like all of it. The stuff that these protesters, these brats have been screaming goes way beyond just, you know, for instance, criticizing Israel, criticizing Netanyahu. I mean, they just don't like Jewish people. And you had AOC who was out there saying, well, you know, they're mostly peaceful. It was the mostly peaceful protest again. She has said that, you know, these are young people shaping the country. Well, a lot of them are in their early 20s, so they're adults. But I mean, there's video of people literally blocking Jewish students from attending classes, like actually barring them from entering buildings. That's not protesting. That's your arresting someone else's movement. That's exactly what it is. How did it get to, I mean, I know it's always been here, but they've gotten so emboldened lately. There've always been anti-Semites, and the left, this is why I've always said, like, especially when I saw the Charlottesville stuff, I was like, well, these are all leftists that are doing this stuff, because leftists all use race and religion as their number one identity. Every leftist does this. Every leftist, their religion, their race is their number one identity. Above all else, above being an American, above everything, their race is it. And they had the cops go in Columbia. You're watching some of it last night because the tent kids got upset with their organized, paid for tents. You know, these kids, have you seen some of these kids? You know, these kids don't got a tent. No. They're not camping aficionados. They don't pretend that they're homeless. They all had the same tents. And the cops had to get involved, and they were, I mean, they're brats, but they've always been, there's always been this, I mean, originally anti-Semitism, it is a leftist thought process, and it's always been there. But what's changed is they've decided to get emboldened again. They've decided to get super emboldened and do this, act out like this, target people like this on college campuses. And colleges, I don't feel bad for them, especially for these Ivy League universities with these huge endowments. I don't feel bad for them. Now, Biden, when I spoke of Charlottesville here, remember when, as I was just telling you, Biden apparently decided that he wanted to get involved in the race, or at least this is what he says, because of what Trump said on Charlottesville. But he literally just did the whole the two sides thing. Or there's good people on both sides. He just did that. There are fine people on both sides of the December 7th debate. This was after. I think this is audio soundbite 4. Listen to this. This was what he was asked, and was this Jackie Heinrich who asked this question? They like shouted it out at him, I think. But he had said he condemned the protest, but then he also condemns the people that don't understand what's happening. Listen to the soundbite.
Condemn the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians and how they're being.
Should the Columbia University president resign?
Right this way.
I didn't know that. I'll have to find out more.
Should he resign?
That's exactly it. There's good people on both sides. That's what he just said, basically. Well, I condemn the protests, but I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians. I don't think he knows what's going on with the Palestinians. I mean, you have these protesters out there, as I said yesterday, their torches are their little scarves that they're wearing. Those are the new tiki torches. And they're targeting literally Jewish students in the United States of America. To the point where they're nervous. These students are nervous about being on campus. And Hamas, by the way, for the people, Biden doesn't understand what's going on. Hamas is supported by people in Gaza. They are still, so don't think that the people there don't support them. They, I'll be damned, they do. If you think that they don't, you have no idea what's going on. And sidebar, I'm not here to tickle the feelings of people who want to be affirmed with every wrong thought that they have. I'm going to lay the facts out and you can choose to accept them or not. But there's been two separate polls that have been taken. One was taken in March, or no, right before March. The other one was December, after October 7th. It was in the very first week of December, that first survey. And they were both conducted. One was conducted by an international like journalist entity. And the other one was conducted by Gazan Press. But by and large, they both revealed the same thing. There wasn't a lot of discrepancy between them. There's still overwhelming support. Oh, such overwhelming support. Again, I'll remind you that they canceled elections over there because Hamas was going to unseat Fatah in West Bank. And they were going to be the dominating faction in these two territories. So this is evidence of the rot that's been taking place. It's been the spoil that's been ongoing on these college campuses. And I can't imagine I would be charged with assault if I was on college campus and I saw people blocking other people because of their religion from entering a building. The reason this stuff keeps happening is because these people are indulged by the good graces of everybody else. I'm going to tell you what, college campuses, these college administrators and law enforcement too, y'all better get a handle on this. Because the people that you don't want to get involved are the people who want to be left alone. The people who think that, you know what, just because they think differently from you, they have every right still to access a building on campus. Those are the people that you do not want to tick off. So they better get a handle on it. Because if it gets out, you're not going to see stuff like that in a small town. That'll promise you. Some of the other stuff we're touching on as well. We're going to talk about this coming up. Huge, huge headline. Supreme Court's going to take up the legal fight over quote unquote ghost guns, which is a fear mongering term from people who don't understand what's being discussed. It's basically firearms that are not serialized, which is a perfectly legal thing if it's an individual who has made a firearm for their own personal use or enjoyment. It's all federally regulated still, which is why I'm saying that if you sell it, it has to be serialized. The reason I'm saying that is because there's a federal regulation about that already. We're going to talk about that coming up because that could actually affect the Dexter Taylor case. So a lot of stuff to touch on. Today, we're diving into the future of health with Lumen, the world's first handheld metabolic coach. So what exactly is Lumen? Lumen measures your metabolism through your breath. You just breathe into Lumen first thing in the morning, and it tells you if you're burning fat or carbs. It's like having your own personal nutritionist in the palm of your hand. And I really like the idea of this thing. So not only does Lumen give you real-time insights into your metabolism, but it also provides personalized nutrition plans tailored to your body's needs for the day. And here's why metabolic health matters. Your metabolism is your body's engine, powering everything from your workouts to your sleep. And Lumen helps you optimize it for easier weight management, improved energy levels, and better overall health. But what about metabolic flexibility? Well, it's crucial. That's your body's ability to switch between using different fuel sources like carbs and fat. And Lumen, it helps track and improve your metabolic flex score, putting you in control of your health journey. So if you're ready to take charge of your health, head over to lumen.me and use code DanaShow at checkout for $100 off your very own Lumen. That's lumen.me and use code DanaShow for $100 off. And remember, it's .me. That is lumen.me. Don't wait. Your health journey starts now.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This makes me sad because I don't want to see two bras suing each other. You know what I'm saying? And I don't dislike either of them. David Beckham is apparently suing Mark Wahlberg after a fitness brand deal soured and it left him a few million out of pocket. His firm, DB Ventures Limited, is claiming that somehow he was duped into working with F45. That's Mark Wahlberg's, like, he's got investments in that gym. And he's also suing the actor's firm, the Wahlberg Investment Group, and the gym group, F45's founders as well. He says he lost $8.5 million when stocks he was promised were withheld until after the share prices plummeted. So the Wahlberg and his co-defendants are saying that it's fraud. The fraudulent conduct are baseless. They're asking to have the suit dismissed. Why? Like, it's just so sad. Stop fighting. It's like watching your brothers fight and you don't know whose side to get on. Stop it. I mean, I like Mark Wahlberg because, you know, he's, or, I mean, come on, he's cool. But this is still sad. America's fight to save handwriting from extinction because people are getting dumber and teachers are warning that some 20-year-olds can't even sign checks anymore. But can I be honest with you? After seeing the way some of them vote, I'm actually in favor of not teaching them to write. And in fact, I would be in favor of not teaching them to read and then duping them into signing their voting rights away. I'm just not above any of this. I'm just going to be honest with you right now. It's too bad. It's not my fault that they're stupid. It's not my fault. You know, this is what happens if you don't get taught handwriting in school. I mean, I can't even read half of these people. It's like, did you write with your feet? Have you seen the way some of them write? I can't even read it. I think chickens write cleaner and they stay on the line better. But several states, just to tell you what's up, several states are trying to prevent handwriting from going extinct because everybody's been using tablets and computers. And the robots are going to laugh at us because we're not going to be able to communicate with each other because we're going to have typed everything and we're going to live in this Wall-E universe where we're all fat and we're all in these inflatable floaty chairs and basically incinerated for food because there's no other way that we can get our protein on that giant ship. You didn't expect it to go there, did you? But it did. Let's see here. A pensioner was stabbed in front of a San Francisco church in broad daylight. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the Avatar story for San Francisco. And the lipstick effect. So there's this stupid measure that people are using saying that experts allege that a surge in makeup purchases is a signal of bad times for the economy to come because women will buy lipsticks and other things as a way to indulge in affordable luxury. And I just think that maybe some women just want to buy some damn lipstick. And some of y'all need to stop reading so much into it. What about buying gold and ammo? What does that portend for the, you know, what's that forecast? And people who use aspirin daily are at a lower risk of colon cancer, studies suggest. We have a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Our partners over at Black Rifle Coffee, the best coffee you can drink, veteran-owned. Veteran run. They hire active duty and vets, and they stand up for our first responders, our police officers, premium coffee for premium people who love America. They got all kinds of delicious roast profiles. And when you join the Black Rifle Coffee Club, you get free shipping, your roast of choice shipped to your door again for free, however often you want. And you can save 20% using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com. Check out all the different roasts they have. And they also have a variety of choices on how to have your coffee. If you want ground beans, whole bean, K-cups, ready to drink, you can find grinders, kettles, all kinds of stuff. Everything that you need for the perfect cup of coffee. So try for yourself today at blackriflecoffee.com. Order today and get 20% off using code Dana. That's 20% off using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
Don't ever let anyone tell you that having a national debt isn't a problem. What portion of your dollar that you sent to Uncle Sam is just paying down our national debt? 40%. 40 cents of every dollar is just interest on our spending.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Allie, can you please stay free Palestine one time? Why did you kill that lady? You killed that lady and got no jail time? No jail time, Alec? No jail time, Alec. You're putting innocent people in jail, Alec Baldwin. Free Palestine, Alec, just one time, and I'll leave you alone. I'll leave you alone, I swear. Just say free Palestine one time. One time. One time.
Call the police.
One time, Alec. You know he's a criminal. You know he's a criminal. Come on, Alec. Just say free Palestine one time. One time. Just one time. Please. And I'll leave you alone. Free Palestine. Israel. Zionism. Please say it.
And
one time.
Then there comes there it is. That was so Kane and I are kind of joking about this. That was this Alec Baldwin was in some bakery in Manhattan getting coffee or whatever. I don't know what he's doing. I don't care. He's not in jail. And this broad decides, I mean, it was funny, but also at the same time, let them eat each other. I don't care. I don't care. Kane and I were having a conversation about this. We're like, yeah, two dumbs usually don't make a right, but it is entertaining. And I'm okay with that. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of this first hour. I'm okay with that. I don't know if y'all, there was community notes on this because this chick had said, oh my gosh, white devil Alec Baldwin assaulted me because I said he was a murderer or something like that. And the community note was something to the effect of, well, he's not been convicted yet. And there's no evidence that he's actually a white devil, but this woman is a bee and very annoying. And it's comical. They were getting the community notes were getting spicy yesterday. But it is just let them eat themselves. Can I just get a free what? What? A free what? A fictional place? How about free Atlantis? How about that? Same effect, right? Good grief. Except Atlantis now is a resort in the Bahamas. So if you're gonna, they could have a resort in Gaza, but they're too busy digging tunnels and blowing people up and shooting rockets off of elementary school roofs. So there, you know. Speaking of Gaza, guys, I got to tell you, I'm at a loss of words where it concerns one John Fetterman. Now, we've given him a hoodie pass. And is he going for the Umbro pass for life? I don't know. Everybody knows what Umbros are, right? Does anyone not know what Umbros are? I'm looking specifically at our millennials and our older Gen Zers. Everybody knows what Umbros are, right? He does not know what Umbros are. No. Okay, first up, before we continue on this, because it's referenced a lot. Umbros is the short uniform of choice for all high school athletes in the 90s. Girls and guys, come in all colors. And they were so useful, Kane, were they not? You had all different types of the Umbros, all different types. You wore them for soccer practice. You wore them for track. For everything, softball. Everybody wore Umbros. You wore them in gym class. You wore them on the weekends when you went bike riding to your friend's house, Kane, right?
Yep.
You had Umbros.
Yep.
I had Umbros.
Several pairs when I was a kid.
Yeah, like everybody had Umbros. It was the thing that everybody had. Steve, you know what Umbros are? Oh my gosh. Sometimes I love them so much. It's like working with Martians. I love it. They're like, what?
I'm going to buy them rotary phones for Christmas.
Oh, man. Or the clear phones where you can see all the guts and it has the long cord. Man, those are the jam. That's when you know you arrived as a teen. Did you have a clear phone where all the guts inside were neon colored?
Yeah, and it had lights in there too.
Yeah, yeah, lit up when it rang. Yeah. So great. Everybody had Umbros. Now, I don't think he wears Umbros because his are quite long. And I think they're mostly of a jersey knit material. We'd call that sweat, you know, like a sweat material, sweatshirt. But no. Now you got to say it's a jersey knit material. You got to make the fabric sound way fancier than it is because, you know, inflation, right? So you got it's a $5 upcharge for a damn pair of sweatshorts. No. It's not a sweatshirt. It's a jersey knit. See, that's how you do it. I just sold you into paying $5 extra for sweatshorts. So I think he's going for like the perpetual Umbro pass now. So I can't read how this is written on my audio list, sadly. But audio soundbite 5, if you please.
It's completely reasonable to want a ceasefire or to have a different view on that. Absolutely, that's a democracy. But it is not appropriate or legal, or it's helpful to advance your argument if you show up in a Starbucks with a bullhorn and start yelling at people, and that doesn't make you noble, it just makes you an asshole. It's very American to protest and to do that in the appropriate way, then I absolutely support that. I'm not suggesting that you have to agree with my view, but it's just saying it doesn't really allow you to disrupt lives and to inflict those kinds of damages on people that are just trying to get on with their lives.
Wow. I really wish that I could use that as a band name. The Noble Blank Hole. So great. He's not wrong. He's like, if you're taking a bullhorn into a Starbucks, first off, how do you make an annoying place more annoying? You take a bullhorn into it,
right,
and you start screaming about freeing a fictional place that isn't actually not free, right? That's how you make a place more annoying. He's not wrong. Where's his wife at? I love the fact that we don't know. Where's she at? It's like where she, when she's not there, he's on fire. What is up with that? I don't know. I don't want to, like, I don't want to be mean to him. And I'm not going to sit here and say, I have a friend who's like, stop celebrating every damn thing that John Fetterman says. He's a Democrat. He's still stupid on everything else. Hold up. We live in weird times. I will take allies on certain issues where I can get them. I'm okay with that. I am okay with walking us back to a ground of normalcy by giving back pats for things that someone may do that the rest of their party doesn't do. And the rest of their party makes it difficult for someone to do that. I bet he's not invited to sit at the cool kids table in the Senate lunchroom anymore. I mean, I'm sure they do that because they're all petty little Democrats. I'm sure they do that. We got to send him. Yeah, we first off, we got to get those, Kane. Kane goes, we need to send him a Dana Show hoodie. He would never wear it, but maybe he would. Right. I don't care. But I just feel he's got the hoodie pass. Now it's like he's going for the Umbro pass. Do you know what's going to happen? Have you ever seen that meme where it's Vince McMahon and it's a three panel thing and he makes a happy face and then he's real excited and then his head blows up for the third panel? Like if Fetterman were to come out and be like, yeah, everybody needs to leave the Second Amendment alone, I would be the third panel Vince McMahon. My head would explode. I wouldn't know what to do with myself. I don't know. How would I deal with that? I'm not quite sure. He just needs, to stay on this line. Just stay on this path. At least he's saying it, and he's right. Why are people afraid to say that? Why are people afraid to say that? Like, you're just a jackwagon if you're going into these private businesses and you're doing this stuff, if you're blocking roads. And we're going to talk more about this, but goodness, can we talk about what the hell is a victim visa? Can someone please explain to me this? Now, also explain to me, why was it bad when Ron DeSantis sent illegal immigrants on planes up to Martha's Vineyard, but it wasn't bad when Joe Biden sent illegal immigrants on planes up near Martha's Vineyard? Why was that not bad? Oh, because it's different, right? So this is the headline that is New York Post. Illegal immigrants, because I don't use the term migrants. Migrants, that's if you're coming, if I were to go to another country legally, you could call me a migrant. If I were to enter another country illegally, I would be an illegal alien in that country. Same applies here. Illegal immigrants shipped to Martha's Vineyard by Governor Ron DeSantis are given crime victim visas. Kane? What is a crime victim visa?
My first initial thought? Mm-hmm. I thought it has something to do with, like, the asylum seekers.
I'm a crime victim. I just had the government steal a whole hell lot of my money last week. I am a victim of crime.
We're all victims of crime.
Where's my
crimes?
Crime victim visa.
That's a good point. Mm. But I would imagine, isn't this the asylum thing? Is this what they're trying to do? Like,
it's a U visa?
It's so weird.
So they got convinced that they were duped into boarding charter flights, even though they were told where they were going. And now they're going to be like, oh, we weren't told. Yes, you were. Shut up. You know what? You go where we tell you to go. You come in illegally, just be happy that we're not, you know. I mean, there's crazier things that could be done. Oh, you got sent to Martha's Vineyard. Oh, tears. You got sent to a super rich liberal enclave. Oh, I'm crying for you. They said they were duped into boarding these charter flights. They even got on a charter flight. I bet they could take bigger items than 3.4 ounces of liquid. How much you want to bet? So they got sent with false promises of jobs and housing. Well, it's the government. They lied to you. Wah, welcome to America. Morons. That's what they do to us every day. Oh, yeah, your Social Security, you're going to have it. It's broke. It's empty. We don't got nothing. Shh, don't tell them that you're going to do something. It's totally broke. We don't got anything in there. We spend it all on studying lesbian obesity and shrimp on treadmills. We don't know what the hell we got. So they were lied to. They're like, the government lied to us. Get in line. At least three of the 49 illegal immigrants involved in the flight operation, they received bona fide determinations for their U visas applications. Wait, you can apply for that, but you couldn't, like, I don't know, enter the country legally. They said that they got these U visas. They can't be deported while they wait for the visa to come through. And they're called, basically, crime victim visas. So you get rewarded for breaking the law. Wait, you broke the law. How are you a crime victim? You broke it. Oh, they're super excited. The lefties are super excited. Oh, it backfired. The migrant flight stunt, even though Joe Biden was doing it long before any Republican governor was. But they said that these, and they're all from Venezuela, and they get the crime victim visa or the U visa, and it can lead to permanent lawful status in the United States. Kane does not like that outcome.
Nobody would like that outcome.
It's a victim visa, and it's designed for victims of certain crimes who have suffered mental or physical abuse and are blah, 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 helpful to law enforcement, whatever. I don't know. What? But you broke the law. You're not a victim of a crime. You did the crime. I'm a victim of your crime. Where's my victim visa? I want a victim something. Where do I get? Where's mine? Where's yours, Kane? We've been all victimized. Crime victim visa, U visa. So that's... But now, it's interesting in that they're claiming that somehow they were falsely manipulated into getting on these flights because DeSantis did it, but never, because Biden's done this. They've had planes leaving Jacksonville, Florida at like 2 a.m. There's video of it. There were local reports of it. And the White House got super mad when they were asked about it. They still are doing it. Just asinine. We've got more on this. More on a lot of stuff, including Congress passed new oil sanctions that they're totally not going to have enforced on Iran. We've got that for you as well.
Hi, I'm Margaret, a rhetoric and media major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arn with a Constitution Minute.
Many argue today that the Constitution is outdated because it addresses problems peculiar to the 18th century so long ago. And some of it does read sort of quaintly. But consider the injunction against titles of nobility in Article 1, Section 9, for example. Is that so outdated? The purpose of that injunction is to prevent the government granting special privileges for partisan reasons. This strikes at the rule of law, the rule under which we're all to be treated the same. The crony capitalism so common today, where the government gives favors and tax dollars to some businesses and advantages over others, is exactly the kind of thing the Constitution was meant to prohibit. The Constitution is not outdated at all.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
By the way, parenthetically, you know, my state of Delaware, which everybody thinks is a wealthy state, I live in a place called Claymont, Delaware. It's in that arc that goes up into Philadelphia, into Pennsylvania, into the Delaware River. More energy plants, more oil refineries than anywhere, including Houston, Texas. And I lived in just literally the school I went to was literally a quarter mile from that border. And the prevailing winds were southeast where we lived. So there was never any incentive for the Pennsylvanians to move to do something, but it affected Delaware. We had the highest cancer rate in the 1970s of any nation, any state in the nation. And guess what? A lot of us, from me included, ended up with bronchial asthma and many other
diseases. Oh, my gosh. So this is a story that he has told, I don't know how many times now. How many times has he told this story?
I've heard it personally over the last 2 years, four.
Where he says, oh, all these oil slicks gave me the cancers. I got the cancers from the oil slicks. Now, even, and I'm looking at two different publications from his own, from Delaware, that say, yeah, that's not accurate. In fact, they couldn't find anything about oil slicks on car windshields in Delaware. They went all the way back to 1923. And they said that the anecdote about, and this was from the Wilmington News Journal, the anecdote about the oil on windshields, Biden's used it before. We cannot find actual clips, nor do we ever confirm any of it. He's made this up. He makes this up over and over again. I'm surprised he didn't say, and it got my son Beau. I mean, for the love. He's making the story up because he's trying to sell you climate change. And I just don't want to, I mean, it's stupid hyperbole. Why does he tell the same story over and over again? That's a lie. That, like, this, it's been local media there's proven it false before, and he keeps saying it. He keeps saying it. And, like, he was saying, oh, yeah, people have to take out rags and wipe the oil slicks off their windshields every day, like frost. Are you serious? And not all the local news people are like, wait, what? We have no record of this happening. None. And in fact, cancer rates, according to the CDC and World Population Review, cancer rates in Delaware have declined significantly in the past couple of decades. Interesting. So he just keeps saying this stuff that's in no way even remotely true. Par for the course. So coming up, we got some 2024 for you. We've got some culture for you, because don't tell me that you're not going after the kids when you host a literal Disney drag show that is advertised as being open to minors. What? Yeah. And sidebar, why did they never dress up as Ursula? Like, that's the one where the likeness is, like, the most striking. That never, everybody always wants to be like the Little Mermaid or some other garbage. It's like, yeah, y'all look like Ursula. Like, be Ursula. Because, you know, if you're going to do it right, like, you know, do it right. We got that for you. We've got this huge Second Amendment case that now the Supreme Court has agreed to hear. It is going to be an earthquake. A lot of stuff coming your way next. Stick with us as we move our partners that help bring you free radio ReadyWise. No matter what happens, you want to be prepared and know that you can feed your family. And that's the last thing you want to have to worry about, by the way. Or maybe if you just like want to go hiking, you want to go on a hiking trip, or you want to go hunt and, you know, go out for a weekend trip. ReadyWise are great. Great eat anywhere meals that you can take with you, made in the USA, packed in the USA at their state-of-the-art facility. And this is premium, high-quality, delicious food from an American company. And you can get an emergency one-month supply, two-bucket bundle. It includes 36 pouches of premium survival food, and it's freeze-dried, dehydrated, no refrigeration required. Easy to prepare. Just add water, 2,000 plus calories, 50 plus grams of protein per day, 25-year shelf life. So the time to prepare always is now, not after something happens. Visit ReadyWise.com and use code DANA20 to save 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com. Use code DANA20 to save 20%.
It is especially important that we remember the power of young people shaping this country today, of all days, as we once again witness the leadership of those peaceful student-led protests on campuses like Columbia, Yale, Berkeley, and many others.
See how they peacefully were preventing Jewish students from entering the building to go to class and screaming, "We're Hamas bees." Yeah, so peaceful. Mm. These are the same students that, if you called a dude and he wanted to be called a chick, you misgendered him. Oh my gosh, if you misgendered someone, if you made up word offense to someone, they would lose their mind and they'd call it hate speech. But, you know, saying death to the Jews is not hate speech. Misgendering someone is hate speech. That's their new measure. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of this first hour. That was AOC. And there's video of her leading Joe Biden around like it's her old grandpa, and she's visiting him at the home. And I mean, I watched this video on break, and I don't think, does he know? He acts like he doesn't know where he is. It's so weird. He's so just out of it in the video. Juan's going to put it up for the simulcast. She's leading him around and talking to him, and she's holding his hand, leading him around. He has no idea where he's going. He's walking like someone's old, out of it, great grandparent. And then he raises both of his arms up like a Barbie. What was there, like Beautiful Hair Barbie or something like that? You'd flip a switch on her back and she'd raise her arms up like that to run her hands through her hair. Am I the only one who remembers that? But she's the way she's leading him around. I mean, it looks like she's, you know, she's visiting grandpa or great grandpa in the home. It looks just like that. And this was at some event that they did that I don't care to learn anything else about. But she's saying it's true. They're out in the woods somewhere. I'm going to lead you away from the woodshed, Grandpa.
I think it's an Earth Day thing.
Oh, Earth Day? You know, the guy founded by the guy who composted his own girlfriend?
Yes.
That Earth Day? We talked about that yesterday. Same Earth Day?
Yep, same one.
My favorite way to celebrate Earth Day is to send all the pollution to China, where they have no regulations about pollution. You actually help pollute the earth more that way. Happy Earth Day. Anyway, so the misgendering someone, that's hate speech to the left. Screaming death to the Jews at a Jewish student just trying to go to class. You know, good grief, it's the end of the year. They got finals. They're just trying to live their lives. Screaming that at them while you bang your drum off beat to some stupid Hamas chant. That's not considered hate speech. I think your face is hate speech. I'm at that level right now. You know, really? Just at that level. What would happen if you had protesters at Columbia who were screaming, death to the gays? Right? Right? Or what if you had people at Columbia that were screaming, death to all you bitches of color? Just think about it. What if they were screaming those things, barring you from accessing buildings at a college campus that you pay an exorbitantly high tuition for? What do you think the response would be? What do you think the response would be? What do you think it would be if they were on campus and they were screaming, "Oh, death to all you illegal immigrants"? Kane,
I'm just going to go based off of what they did when Trump just ate a taco on Cinco de Mayo.
It was a taco salad.
Oh, it was a taco salad.
Yeah,
even more healthy. I don't. If I'm gauging it by their response to Trump during that time, then certainly this has got to be the height of racism here.
I wonder if, like, at that point, Columbia would have called in NYPD to actually arrest people at that point. I mean, what if you set up tents and your whole protest was about hating a specific group of people? But this time, let's say it wasn't Jewish people. Just to say it was somebody. Give me somebody that they can hate, Kane. The trans people. Yeah, do the trans.
Right.
Yeah. What if they're screaming, death to all you dudes pretending you're chicks? Well, I mean, what if they would have said that? Huh? Oh my gosh, it's ma'am. What if they would have said that?
Transphobes.
Yeah, transphobes, TERFs. Yeah. No, they would have. I mean, we've already seen trans activists shoot stuff up, so I can kind of imagine how that would go. Mm-hmm. And the NYPD, I think, would shut that down very quickly. I mean, good grief. You're a bigot if you are unwilling to be forced to call a dude a woman. But, you know, targeting Jewish people is okay. Barring Jewish people from entering buildings is okay. Screaming insightful, like, death to the Jews and all this other stuff, and we're Hamas, and somebody was screaming, like, another Holocaust or something like that. There's all kinds of video of this stuff. I mean, it's just all disgusting garbage. I'm just curious, how would that go on these college campuses? It's interesting what the left defines as hate speech and what they don't define as hate speech, because if it makes it uncomfortable or disadvantages them in any way as it relates to their political ambition or strategy, then they don't say anything about it. They're just quiet. They're not going to say anything about it. Now they're in a bit of a pickle, because with Biden and Muslim voters and this fallout from them unsuccessfully trying to triangulate with our only ally in that part of the world. I'm just saying, it's interesting stuff. I posted about this yesterday and we talked about it a lot yesterday, and I'm not going to relitigate it. But if you haven't read my piece yesterday, I suggest you go do it. It's it's called Yes, America's Right to Drop the Atomic Bomb. And yesterday, you can go back and listen to some of the podcast. But if you wanted any of the receipts or any of the history that I discussed, it's all in this piece, because it was over the weekend that the right decided it was going to argue with itself as to whether or not it was okay to drop the atomic bomb. And this was after, what gets me is how apparently how historically illiterate some people are. You had 20 years of Japan raping and pillaging all the other nations around it. I mean, I'm not even going to get into there was one massacre of one village, and they said mass rapes. It was the Nanjing massacre, and they literally call it the Rape of Nanjing. And it was a 6-week genocide where they murdered everyone. They mass raped everyone. And this is what Japan was doing. This was some years before. This was, I think, in 1937. So this was some years before Pearl Harbor and their entrance officially into World War II, and ignoring still the attempted coup after Nagasaki and Hiroshima to prevent Japan's unconditional surrender. I discussed that as well in the piece because there was a last ditch effort. This was in the days following the last bomb drop, and it was called the Kyujo incident, where they were trying to stop this unconditional surrender. There wasn't a consensus about conditional surrender. And I got into Operation Downfall, and then of course Ketsugo as well. And there were estimated to be millions of more people lost. I mean, at least up to 800,000 more servicemen, American servicemen, and considering the way that Japan was making civilian soldiers out of everybody, they were estimating up to 2 million more Japanese killed if there was to be an invasion. And there were two parts to Operation Downfall, but it was apparently going to be considered, if Operation Downfall did happen, it was going to be considered by some war scholars, for the lack of a better way to put it, the largest amphibious assault equal to that of or greater than that of D-Day. And it was, I mean, there were people already getting prepared. They were already being trained for this because the very Bushido-minded Japan was not going to relent. They were absolutely not going to relent. And this is one of the things I told my husband about yesterday. I'm like, I worry that when we lose all of our World War II veterans, this reality is going to be redefined in the future because there are literally vets out there and people that I know whose dads or whose grandfathers were literally being prepared for Operation Downfall. I mean, our own government, there was a surge in the manufacturing of Purple Hearts from the expected casualties. And if you would like receipts on all of this, I have them. It's over at Substack. But it was the only way. And I reject the dumb argument about, oh, well, you know what, we bombed innocent children, so you just want to bomb innocents. That's what I've seen some people opine. They put it in the Instagram comments, or they say it on Twitter or on Facebook when I posted some of the stuff yesterday. I'm sorry, but you're an ahistorical anus for making a stupid comment like that. And you arrive at that point in your logic only by very conveniently ignoring all of the atrocities that countless women and children suffered at the hands of a very brutal imperial Japanese regime. And you ignore what American children would be forced to endure should that regime have continued. Of course, I guess all those kids were okay to kill. Is that what I'm to assume from the logic, from the people who make that logic? I mean, these are people who have zero differentiation when it concerns killing on purpose as a terror tactic and accidental loss of life in a war zone. You're presupposing the guilt of Americans. And by the way, you're doing exactly what Hamas is doing. It's the same argument that Hamas and its supporters use when they try to condemn Israel's self-defense. So congratulations. There's a few topics that I will claw people's eyes out over, literally just a tiny few, and this is one of them. I said in my piece, excusing the outright barbaric brutality of Imperial Japan, then Imperial Japan, and their determined refusal to cease hostilities by blaming the United States for defensively putting an end to it. That's not just revisionist history. It's anti-American propaganda. And I think that the people who say, well, the United States is, they just manufactured a narrative as a way to justify using the bombs. I think those people need to ask themselves whether or not they themselves have fallen prey to a foreign adversarial psyop as a way to drive division at home. I mean, I saw a lot of Russian bots out there. They were saying, oh, well, a bunch of stuff that just was not historically accurate. And so you can go and read this piece if you want to learn everything about the estimated casualties, if you want to read about the surge in Purple Heart production, if you want to read about the coup after both bombs were dropped, if you want to read about Operation Downfall, if you want to read about Ketsugo, if you want to read about how Japan had to be wholly defeated and how they still had tons of kamikazes, a multi-million strong army, even though their navy was gutted, they still had all of these other resources at their disposal. And you can go and read about all of those things and then send the piece to an ahistorical Anna's that you know, who keeps repeating this anti-American propaganda. War is hell. That's why it should always be a last resort. But if you're going to do the math says that America did right. We have a lot more on the way as we roll towards the bottom of this second hour already, and our partners that help bring you free radio. It's our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the nation. And they want to make sure that your money actually goes towards, you know, your cell phone service and not towards politics at the ballot box, like in support of DEI or CRT or abortion on demand as birth control, taxpayer funded. And they have plans to fit any type of budget, whether it's a big family, small family, singles, businesses of all sizes. They have something for you, offering dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You're getting the best service in your area, but you're not funding the communist left. Free activation using code Dana. You can keep your number, you can keep your phone, or you can switch and upgrade, get stuff entirely new. It is your choice entirely, and they have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team that's going to make it super easy and fast for you. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana and get that free activation. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So another earthquake, a 6.3, apparently hit Taiwan. They were hit by dozens of earthquakes, the strongest one reaching a 6.3. It shook buildings in the capital of Taipei. The quake had a depth of about 3.4 miles, according to the Weather Administration. Gavin Newsom is proposing to help Arizonans get abortions in California. Good grief. Women care more than just about abortions, right? I mean, tell me that you don't understand how women get prenatal care at all without telling me that you don't understand. Newsom says that he's introducing legislation that's going to help Arizonans get abortions in his state because he thinks that Arizona doesn't allow for life of the mother, etc. Those exceptions are literally part of the original state law. So I don't know what he thinks he's trying to do. It's just not allowing it. Again, as a post-conception birth control for recreational sex. That's what it's just not allowing. Unless the mother's life is in danger. So he's proposing this new law because, you know, California solved all their other problems. Two life forms merged into one organism for the first time in a billion years. I'm going to try so hard not to make jokes here. It's only happened twice in the history of the Earth, apparently. It's a process called endosymbiosis, and it gave rise to all complex life as we know it through mitochondria. And it happened with the emergence of plants, they said. And they said that they saw it happening between a species of algae commonly found in the ocean. So a species of algae and a bacterium that's commonly found in the ocean. So they said that it's second time, apparently, that it's ever happened. It's kind of interesting. Yeah. Also, Biden's $7 billion Earth Day solar grants have been slammed as a giveaway to China because they're now going to flood the U.S. with low-cost, cheaply made Chinese energy panels. You know, because nothing... You're giving away... It's literally... You're just giving everything away to China. We're going to talk about this coming up. We're also going to talk more about the Ukraine stuff. And apparently Generation Z is aging faster than any other generation before it. And they think that it has to do with not just genetics, but diet and lifestyle. And some specific lifestyle choices may be to blame. That's interesting. We have a lot more on the way. It's not the vax, Kane said. A lot more on the way. Stick with us. You can Scrooge McDuck it up, too, if you want to, and have gold and silver as a hedge against inflation. Gold Co. can help you. They got a free 2024 wealth protection kit, and you can get possibly $10,000 in bonus silver. Who doesn't love bonus silver as a listener of this show? It's only while supplies last, though. Now, the free wealth protection kit's going to get you all facked up. You're going to get all staffed up with facts. You're going to learn about everything that has to do with the economy and the gold IRA market. And they are so thorough with this information. It's an education first stance. And it's a one-of-a-kind kit that explains how all of this works and makes it easy for you not only to understand but get the benefit of owning physical gold and silver. This is a huge part of your overall retirement savings strategy. Transparent, honest, no pressure, thousands of 5-star reviews. So get started today at danalikesgold.com. Get your free wealth gold, your free gold kit from Goldco, your wealth protection kit. Learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary, that wealth protection kit comes right with it. Visit danalikesgold, because I do, .com.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He directly addressed the vile comments that circulated over the weekend with a call to action saying that we must speak out against the alarming surge of anti-Semitism because silence is complicity. Like we said, while every American has the right to peaceful protest, calls for violence and physical intimidation targeting Jewish students and the Jewish community are blatantly anti-Semitic, unconscionable, and dangerous, and they have no place on any college campus or anywhere in the United States of America. Echoing the rhetoric of terrorist organizations, especially in the wake of the worst massacre committed against the Jewish people since the Holocaust, is despicable. We are, of course, monitoring these situations closely. There has been alarming rhetoric that we want to be sure we are meeting our responsibility to speak out against. We will continue to do that. And that is a commitment the president made in the first ever national strategy to counter anti-Semitism. That is something he feels very strongly about.
But not
you all remember that he made the decision to run because of the anti-Semitic bile.
So this is their deputy press secretary. He's a lower level staffer that they sent out to basically clean up Biden's mess of a remark where he essentially both sided the whole situation with these college protests. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you at the bottom of the second hour. And again, you can listen coast to coast. You can also stream the radio program and watch the simulcast of the radio program on channel 347 DirecTV and everywhere else. It's also streaming on X. But that's ultimately what he did when with these protests that have been happening on these college campuses is, I mean, that's really what they did, is he's trying to both sides it with the remark that he made. I mean, we have his remark. Can we just play his remark again? This was his very fine people moment, audio soundbite one. Just listen to this real quick.
Condemn the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians and how they're being...
Should the Columbia University president resign?
Right this way.
I didn't know that. I'll have to find out more about it.
Should he resign?
Good heavens. I mean, his remark was... His comment was bad. I mean, I condemn them. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians. What does that mean? What does it even mean? One of the things, too, to note is the difference. I actually think this is different from Trump's remark in that Trump was not both siding the rioters in Charlottesville. He was talking about the removal of statues. And when he was talking about how on that specific debate, if you ever listen to his full remarks on this, and I'm just telling you what was said, you can, you know, it just has nothing to do with whether you like Trump or not. If you're an objective thinking person, you know, you'll dislike someone for very real things and you not for made up nonsense. But he was speaking about this debate on the statues, and he was saying that there were people who felt as though you were destroying American history, good or bad, by removing the statues, and then people who felt on the other side that the statues represented something that was painful in the past, etc. And he was saying that there on the sides of the debate, that there's good people on either side of the issue, on either side of that debate. That's what he was talking about. And then they made it to be about, he was talking about the rioters in Charlottesville. But he actually said later, when he was specifically asked about the Charlottesville riot, he was like, oh, white supremacists, all this other stuff. And he like raged at them. So I don't, that fallacy still persists. And that's why I think Biden's remark was even worse. But I didn't think Trump's remark, I thought the context in which they tried to falsely placed Trump's remark was bad. Biden's remark is actually bad. And it's because the way he says it, he's like, I also condemn those. He says, I condemn the anti-Semitic protests, but I also condemn those who don't understand with what's going on with the quote unquote Palestinians. What do you mean? Would you not understand what's going on with them? Everybody knows what's going on. I mean, you have these Hamas cheerleaders with the scarf version of their tiki torches literally cheering for the annihilation of a people because of their religious beliefs. This has nothing to do with government disputes or disagreements with the prime minister. This is literally about going after people for their beliefs. And Hamas, the terrorist entity, is the democratically elected official government of the people in Gaza. They knew they were a terrorist element before they voted for them. They knew that they were a terrorist group when they were voting for them. And they knew they were a terrorist group when, after October 7th, they told international news agencies by a wide, unbelievable majority that they overwhelmingly approved of what Hamas did on October 7th. Furthermore, they again knew that Hamas was a terror element, a terror group, by telling their own Gazan surveyors who were trying to poll the people. And this was in early spring of this year. When they overwhelmingly approved of what Hamas was doing, and they still liked them and they were still popular. And people knew, again, that this was a terrorist group when they were overwhelmingly indicating that they were going to be voting for them to take over in West Bank also, in addition to the Gazan Strip. So, I mean, there's at some point the excuse just tires out. It just wears thin. You know that they're a terrorist group. If you want to know what's going on with people in Gaza, it's this, they're represented by terrorists. And what have I said about elected officials here in the United States? How it's an avatar of the people. Am I supposed to say that there's an exception elsewhere? Like people just didn't know that they were blowing up, that they had a martyrs fund? I mean, it's a little difficult to say otherwise when you watch video after video of like random people coming out of their homes and helping to spit on people that have been taken hostage and motorbiked back into Gaza. I mean, I'm just saying it's observation. Seems pretty legitimate. No, you had a country that defended itself against this terroristic, nihilistic entity. And now you have all these terrorist sympathizers on college campuses that are doing this. Now, whose tuition is getting quote unquote forgiven? Joe Biden and the Democrats, they're doing all this student loan forgiveness. How much you want to bet that you have Jewish families out there, really everybody, not just Jewish families, that are paying off the college debt now of these pro-Hamas student terrorist sympathizers? Joe Biden's already bought off their votes. Maybe they should do a rally there at these college campuses, and Joe Biden could remind everyone at Columbia that he did college loan forgiveness, quote unquote forgiveness. Don't they have like a whole other 60-something $3 million thing that they're getting ready to do? Let me look this up. I thought it was announced last week. Whole student debt forgiveness. Just saying. You know, it seems like that. I mean, they're also protesting at MIT. They're doing all of this stuff. So, it seems like, you're paying for them to be there. You're paying for them to be there. You're paying for them to do these protests. Now, a few other things I want to make sure that we, let me pull this up. I got a lot of windows open. I want to make sure that we get to also, this is audio soundbite 10. This is Florida Governor Ron DeSantis on these demonstrations. Listen.
Well, first on what's happening in these college campuses, you know, if I were in charge, I would send the Justice Department after those universities, because this is unacceptable to have this type of anti-Semitism, where it's not just bad speech. They're really targeting Jewish students. It's a hostile environment and violates the civil rights of those students. And these universities, they just aren't willing to do what needs to be done to ensure.
True. I'd send the DOJ after those universities. And maybe Republicans in Congress could just, you know, maybe they could do something with the power of the purse. I mean, I realize they only have a plus one majority. Maybe they could stop obsessing over the speaker seat long enough to figure out holding these universities accountable by, putting a stranglehold on federal grants. Might be nice, right? Might be nice to do. I mean, it's leftist radicals that the left finds completely disposable. They use them every election cycle. But I like what he had to say there on that. Can you explain to me how it is? This is happening in Texas. The Red Goose Saloon in Fort Worth. Now, I don't know why anybody who's a minor would be going into a saloon, but apparently the Dallas media is saying that the venue has weekly drag shows every Sunday. Okay, whatever. If you're an adult and you're doing adult stuff, but they have said that you are allowed to bring your children, and they have apparently the advertising, like, for instance, they're doing a Disney themed drag brunch, a Disney themed drag, and making sure that everybody knows it's open to minors. Oh. So, I mean, why would it be open to minors? I just think it's weird.
You said it's Disney themed.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't there be some sort of trademark
Disney
issue?
Yeah, and I don't know.
Be using Disney's likeness unless they've greenlit this.
Wasn't there a drag queen that was on Fox who said that it's just the basic B, like, great value version drag queens that perform on Sunday afternoons?
Aren't they all that?
Apparently the good ones, they only like Friday and Saturday nights.
Oh.
It's the ones that are bad and that they're not very good that do Sunday afternoons. I'm not saying that. What is that one? There was that drag queen that Jesse Waters has on. I got to ask him who that is. He has this drag queen on. But this dude was like, yeah, these are, I mean, he destroyed these drag queens. And he's like, this is an adult show. This is not for kids. And was basically saying, if you're bringing your kids, something's wrong with you. But then also just in a very Elton John level of cattiness, just destroyed the drag queens that perform on set. I don't know enough about drag queen culture, Kane, to know this. But yeah, they said that apparently there was a Moondance drag brunch that also did an all ages Six Flags drag that happened last year. I guess it's some of the same performers. And it was Six Flags here in Texas in Arlington. They did not enforce any kind of age restriction, and it was an explicit drag show that was performed at Six Flags. Okay, that's a problem. You're taking it out of the saloon now, and you're taking it to a family theme park. Yeah. I mean, you've got to be so tall to ride on the rides, but you don't have to be so old to go and watch dudes dress up as women and shake their bits. I'm just saying. They said that there was a lot of sexual dances, nudity, mimicking nudity, sexual acts, things like that. Apparently, one guy had his entire backside exposed. It was just wild. It's bad. So that seems like if you're trying to start a fight, like specifically targeting people's kids is a great way to do it. Why has this become the hill that the left wants to die on? Rhetorically speaking, I don't mean like how the left says when they want people to die, like they actually die and they'll send the trans activists in schools. I mean, like, you know, rhetorically speaking, why is this the hill?
Personally, I think they know that they can instill evil in younger people and it affect, you know,
what happening to just grown adults going and doing grown adult stuff without having to go, well, you're narrow-minded unless you take your child to go and see this overweight man shake his hairy ass on stage.
It's creepy if you want to take a kid to one of these shows And that's
I think you need friends. If you're taking your kids to drag, you need to get your lonely ass some friends.
And that's not bigotry.
Sad.
It's not bigotry to say that.
No, it's sad.
It's not bigotry to say that.
If you, I don't have anyone to go to anything with me. I guess I'll take my kids. Wow. That's like worse than the mom from Mean Girls. I'm not a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. That's so lame. I think if you're taking kids to this adult stuff, you need to get you some friends. Like, for real. Get outside. Touch grass. Learn how to talk with other adults. It's kind of weird. You know? I mean, it's not kind of. It's weird. Stop it. Stop being weird. We got more on the way. We got Florida Man coming up. Maybe Florida Man can restore some of the sanity as we move our partners that help bring you free radio where you don't have to pay anything. Stop. Don't go away. You're going to listen to this because you need to eat your vegetables. I'm watching you right now. Field of Greens. This is not a supplement. It's actual vegetables. They just turn it into a powder so you can just take it all in one gulp. For them, just shoot 8 ounces of it. That's it. You put one scoop into a preferably healthy beverage so you don't negate the value of it. And these are all super fruits, vegetables, medically selected by doctors for specific health benefits. And they're filling your dietary need, your requirement, so you can fuel your body throughout the day. Antioxidants, fiber, prebiotics, all that good stuff. All I know is that if you told me, Danny, you have to eat all these vegetables with your meals, or if I could just do 8 ounces, shoot 8 ounces of a drink and get, you know, what I need, I think you know what I'm picking, right? Because I just, not that I dislike vegetables, but part of me is perpetually 9 years old. So I just don't want to sit there and have to eat all of it. I don't want to sit there and eat green beans and Brussels. So that's disgusting. I'm not going to eat that stuff. But I will do 8 ounces of water and just some powder mixed in with it. And that's what Field of Greens is. And it's 100% USDA organic fruits and vegetables. You're going to notice a difference. You will notice a difference when you are taking what your body needs to fuel it throughout the day. So to start, Field of Greens wants to give you 15% off your first order plus free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com. Use promo code Dana. Get that 15% off. Field of Greens. .com, code Dana.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
A nice Florida Man story. Two Florida women they were attempting to drive from Jacksonville 500 miles down the coast of Florida to earn the Guinness World Record for longest distance by toy cars. That's a thing that people do. Okay. With the toy cars. All right. I mean, do you have real tires on it? It doesn't say. The piece doesn't say. I would imagine the little plastic tires aren't going to hold up. Just saying. A Florida man used a cardboard box to hide his face while breaking into a Port Orange business, say deputies. Yes, this Florida man tried to conceal his identity with a cardboard box over his head. He was stealing all kinds of stuff and he in these multiple businesses. Detectives reviewed the footage, and then they saw him literally go out to the dumpster, get on his bicycle, and take the box off his head, and then try to pedal away, which goes into my theory that you don't see kids on bicycles anymore. It's just crackheads. And they found the box that he used discarded in the alley outside the business. They did catch him, and he was arrested, Alan Goudreau, for burglary of an unoccupied structure, criminal mischief, and petty theft. Cardboard box doesn't do anything when you take it off in full view of the CCTV. Okay. Stick with us. We got more in store. Third hour on the way.
No, I think that with every social movement, there are unfortunately outside detractors who come and try to spread their hateful rhetoric, and we stand completely against this. It's horrifying to see, but we stand for liberation and human rights and equality for Jewish people, for Palestinians, and that's what we're calling for.
Well, then why are you going out there with the lie of occupation and everything else? I mean, you can't very well say that you find, you know, certain things abhorrent when you're engaging in, you know, these lies that are inflaming this. I mean, that's the truth of it. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you at the top of this third hour. That's just one of these students at Columbia University. I was reading at the Wall Street Journal how they say that these pro-Hamas, and that's what it is. I mean, you're repeating Hamas rhetoric and you're protesting against Jewish people. These pro-Hamas protests are forcing colleges, the Wall Street Journal reports, to rethink graduation plans, and schools are trying to minimize the disruption of these commencements because the conflict over the conflict after Gaza attacked Israel and Israel defending itself, it's caused some tensions. Colleges should be like, look, if you're going to disrupt, you don't get your diploma. It's that simple. If you're going to disrupt, you're not getting your degree. The end. That's the penalty for disrupting a commencement ceremony, especially at these universities where, golly, these are like six-figure costs at these universities. Super expensive. So yeah, you're not going to get your, you don't get this if you're going to disrupt the commencement ceremony. I would be livid if my commencement ceremony was interrupted by somebody protesting for Hamas. You know, they were screaming at, they were telling Jewish students, go back to Poland. They were screaming it at them. There was a student at Yale that got beaten with a flag that Gazan say represents the fake entity Palestine. And there was a rabbi that told students at Columbia that they needed to stay home for their own safety. One of the chants, and there's video of all of this, one of them said, quote, go Hamas, we love you, we support your rockets too. And it was a whole crowd of people chanting it in Columbia, at Columbia University. All of that, I mean, absolute thing. They were saying, they were chanting, Hamas, make us proud, take another soldier out. There's video of all of this. All of this. Burn Tel Aviv to the ground was another chant. There's tons of video of all of this. All of this all over. I mean, I have it here. You're just being hateful. That has nothing to do with you're protesting for whatever equality or whatever. You're literally pushing hatred. Go back to Poland, and they were saying, quote, say it loud, say it clear. We don't want no Zionists here. Love the double negative. Grief. We say justice, you say how. Burn Tel Aviv to the ground. That was their big chant. That's all on video. There's tons of video of all, and these are all like different groups saying this. And the big crowd at Columbia was chanting all of this. The big crowd at Columbia was chanting, quote, they were the ones who were chanting, go Hamas, we love you, we support your rockets too, and we say justice, you say how. Burn Tel Aviv to the ground. That was the other one they were chanting. Tons of these students on camera, like a horde of them on camera. It's not just a couple of them. It's all of them. It's not just a couple. It's all. So when you hear them try to defend themselves, oh no, it's just a couple. That was the whole damn protest. The whole protest at Columbia was screaming this stuff on camera. Why did anyone not push back on that student? Well, here's the video of literally your protest where all of you, hundreds of students, are chanting to burn Tel Aviv to the ground and, quote, go Hamas, we love you. And I'd play it and then I'd ask for that student to respond. How do you say it's only a couple of people and that you don't like them? Or that you, how is this about, quote unquote, equality or any of the things that you just said? You liar. You terrorist liar. How? I don't know. Are they trying to get people killed? The left. Remember, this is the same left that if you misgender someone, oh my gosh, it's actual literal hate speech. They freak out. You can't use the wrong pronoun. Oh my gosh, it's hateful. Can't use the wrong pronoun. They were super upset when they thought that there was anti-Semitism in Charlottesville because they were trying to argue that that was somehow on the right. But this is acceptable. I don't even understand that. That doesn't make any sense to me. The administration's been MIA, condemning any of it. He hasn't said a single thing except the both sides, quote, and then they sent a low-level staffer out to clean that up because that was a disaster. So this is actual anti-Semitism on display in a college campus. And it's not just, I mean, there's a lot of colleges this is happening at. I mean, MIT, it's happening at MIT even. Aren't they the math and science nerds, Kane?
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that where Thomas Massie went?
Yeah. Thomas Massie was there. Yeah, Thomas Massie. That was, what soundbite was that we played? Was that, eight?
Seven.
Let's play eight. Let's play audio soundbite eight. This is that lady that scalped a Karen. Listen.
At the crux of these on-campus tensions are allegations of anti-Semitism hurled against Jewish students, or accusations that Columbia's leadership has not done enough to keep students safe. A dueling narrative has emerged, with student protesters saying the anti-Semitism is not coming from Columbia students.
Really? Then why are there mobs of, why are there mobs of Columbia students that are saying this stuff? Here, I'll give you the video. I don't think it's been censored. But Juan's going to throw this up. How is this video of Columbia students saying, "Go Hamas, we love you," not students? I'm curious. There's more of it. I mean, there's a lot more. There were students that have been assaulted on campus, and a lot of that's been on video and photograph. Juan's got the video of a bunch of, and that's just one of the videos of some of the Columbia students that are screaming about how they love Hamas and they want to see Tel Aviv burn to the ground. There's tons of other video of this stuff all around campus and at other campuses too. So how is that completely? There's video evidence that just destroys all this stuff. There's no excuse. These people, they're just excusing it. Just be honest. You hate Israel and you're an anti-Semite, and you hate Israel because you don't like Jewish people. Don't hide behind the veneer of, well, it's their government. Just come out and embrace your hatred for Jewish people. We all know it. I don't know why we're all pretending otherwise, why we're all pretending that these excuses are in any way valid. I just watched a terrorist student talk about how being an anti-Semite is okay and excusing anti-Semitism from the majority of the protesters that are there. You can't sit here and show me video after video after video after video of crowd after crowd after crowd after crowd of students screaming anti-Semitic garbage, screaming that they love Hamas and they want to see different parts of Israel burn to the ground. And they, all this other stuff. To tell people to go back to Poland, assaulting Jewish students, and then tell me that you don't have an anti-Semitic problem. You do. Good night. So like I said, there's a major problem with universities. And I going back to my original question, are they trying to get people killed? Is the left not going to be happy until they've got dead bodies? I'm curious. This is just wild. Does the left only care about anti-Semitism if they think it's something that they can pin on someone that they think is on the right? Which, by the way, I reject that any kind of religious or race-based ideology is in any way remotely on the right. Because that's literally antithetical. It's absolutely antithetical to everything that limited government, like a conservative, stands for. Because that's not your identity. You're an American. All your other stuff is secondary. Actually, if you're a Christian, you're a Christian, American, and then everything else comes after that. But see, you can't have it in that order. Because Marxism thrives when that disorder is prioritized. When that's at the top, when all the different identities are prioritized over one identity. Do you understand this is all just statism? It's all the same tyranny. It's all different faces of the same tyranny. Now, yeah, and I was reading some of the stories about students who were assaulted. It's just wild. Did you guys hear the story? They've had the trial going on. When it first came up and was going to trial, we talked about it. It was an Arizona jury. The case of this 75-year-old man of Santa Cruz County, Arizona. His name's George Allen Kelly, right? He's the rancher who he and his elderly wife were home. And there were illegal immigrants trespassing on his property. He's had a problem with drug runners and cartels on his property. He was very clearly concerned about his safety and the safety of that of his elderly wife and his family because they've got grandkids. And he had seen what happened was he saw a guy with all kinds of they had guns and backpacks. And they had been trafficking drugs. He keeps catching them trafficking drugs on his property. And a group of men were on his property illegally. They entered the country illegally, and they started firing. They had they started firing at him, and he defended himself. And they actually charged him with killing an illegal immigrant. And they had a hung jury that resulted in a mistrial. And they said the jury began deliberations last Thursday, but by yesterday, they had no clear verdict. And so the judge says this case is in mistrial. And they have a 170-acre ranch. He said Border Patrol warned him all the time about illegal immigrants and that were cartel members coming across, etc. And, you know, they went and these guys had guns. Kelly, he fired 9 shots total. And apparently one of them struck this one guy who was a repeat offender. He entered the United States illegally countless times. He was deported in 2016. And the Democrat county attorney indicted Kelly on 1 count of second degree murder, 1 count of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Kelly pled not guilty, turned down a plea bargain. He wasn't going to plead guilty to negligent homicide. I mean, 75 years old, they would have the prison sentence that he would have gotten would have been life for him. And there was no proof, by the way, that Kelly had fired the shot that killed this illegal immigrant criminal. They never found around. They never found any evidence at the time of his death. And the only other witness in the case was another illegal immigrant cartel member. And he kept changing his story. And then they started thinking, was he even at the scene? So then the police conduct, they said, was a big problem. So we're going to talk, we'll talk about this and follow this case more, but this is problematic. And, you know, they tell you that only the government are the people that are supposed to have guns. They'll protect you. That's what you hear from gun control folks, really?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So China has 8.3 million people who can't repay their debts, and the way that they punish them reads like a Black Mirror episode. IBT, the International Business Times, say that the rising loan, it's, I mean, they are blacklisted. They have, the blacklist contains all their personal information. People who are behind, who are debtors, they cannot book vacations, they cannot book hotels, they cannot buy property, they cannot access higher insurance coverage, they cannot use toll roads, they cannot use payment apps, they cannot board trains, and they cannot board planes. They can't do anything. They said that in February, over 17 million people were prevented from buying plane tickets, and over 5.5 were prevented from purchasing train tickets last year. And apparently, telecom companies in China assign specific ringtones to those who are blacklisted. So if you're a debtor, anybody who calls a debtor, that they're warned by a recorded voice note about that person's financial crisis. And all their details are made public. All their details are made public. That's what China does. That's wow. A surgeon was fired after ogling sedated patients. Oh, whoa. That's a bad one. Millennials want a 4-day work week. This is the sound of me mentally rolling my eyes so hard, I just strained them. Reclining seats on planes may soon be no more. Airlines are apparently getting rid of them because they want you to suffer and be all hemmed up while you're sitting in the metal tube. They said that losing the ability to recline can be a blessing in disguise. No, it is not. It is not. All I ask is that you just double check when you recline your seat, right? Like, don't be the jackwagon who just goes boom. Like, be polite. I'm all about, you know, extending a gesture of goodwill on the plane. But heaven forbid, if you take your shoes off and you touch me with your feet, like I've told you, I will punch them off your ankles. We got a 2A issue, major, major Supreme Court case coming up. We're going to discuss that next.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast terrestrially. You can also catch the simulcast of the radio program as well. Channel 347 DirecTV. You can find us on X, all that good stuff. And this case that we have been talking about with regards to ghost guns. And we've been talking about the Dexter Taylor case, et cetera. I hate the term ghost gun because it's such a dumb term. I mean, there's no aspect of the Second Amendment that is not meticulously, ridiculously overregulated by the federal government. So I don't know why we have this. Well, I mean, I know why, but we have this narrative from the Biden administration on ghost guns. Like, oh my gosh, we just got gangbangers out there making ghost guns and people going out and selling them. And I mean, the ATF's own data on this completely deconstructs this argument. But to my point, though, this came out, I guess, right after we got off air yesterday, that the Supreme Court is now going to hear, they granted cert to this ATF ghost gun rule. And apparently this was sought out by the Biden administration, which I guess they thought they were going to get one over on the Second Amendment community. But it's not going to go that way for them because the Firearms Policy Coalition is like, yeah, we'll be your Hucklebearer. We're going to go ahead and do this. Joining us now is Cody Wisniewski. He's on X at the Wizard of Laws with a Z, but he's with the Firearm Policy Coalition, and he is their president of the coalition and counsel for the plaintiffs in this Vanderstock v. Garland case. It's good to see you, Cody. Welcome. We appreciate you joining us on this. So it's good news, in fact, that they are hearing this. And a lot of people were wondering if the Supreme Court was going to actually grant cert in this case. And now it looks like, I mean, you're going to have your day in court. So tell me about this. Just your initial reaction, first off.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for having me, Dana. One point of clarification. So I'm president at FPC Action Foundation, but I actually represent FPC in this case, which is one of the plaintiffs. You're exactly right. We're going to have our day before the Supreme Court. And I know a lot of people were a little bit concerned because the Biden administration, the federal government, is the one that asked for cert in this case. But we actually agreed that the Supreme Court should hear it. The key there is that this lets us get in front of the Supreme Court, gets the case briefed, and gives the justices an opportunity to finally weigh in on this issue and really dig into the case. So yes, the federal government is the one that sought cert. The reason they had to do so is because we defeated them at the circuit court. We defeated them at the district court as well. And we look forward now that we've got the opportunity to defeating them at the Supreme Court.
And this is going to be one of the, this is, I think, possibly an earthquake, one of those cases you would describe as, you know, legally being an earthquake, because the ATF has been trying to redefine what a firearm is. Now I think the general rule is you could just have like an unmilled block of aluminum and that's a firearm now. A paperweight, that's a firearm now. And this creates, I know that this would affect potentially a lot of other cases that are being litigated right now. How, it's, I know that part of the job of being counsel on this is really kind of gauging where the justices are, because I've talked to, I'm not an attorney, but I have a lot of friends who are, and I've been privy to their discussions, and they've said prior, before we had the current makeup of the Supreme Court, that, you know, they were concerned about the court hearing certain cases, you know, because, you know, the law that the decisions that they end up coming out with, I mean, that has, you know, clearly lasting impact. Do you have a little bit more confidence with the current bench going into this with this case?
I do. There's a key to this case that makes it a little bit unique. So this case is brought under the Administrative Procedure Act, right? Because it's a challenge to an agency rulemaking. And the real question that underlies this case is just one of statutory interpretation. Congress passed the law that defines firearm. ATF, in an attempt to, you know, expand its power, basically went back on its review and its application of that definition of firearm, the application of that law that it's had for decades upon decades, and has tried to reread the law to give itself more power. Really what this question will boil down to before the Supreme Court at its base is going to be a question of statutory interpretation. And that's something where a lot of the justices are, you know, very good on that issue and have also been very concerned with agency overreach, not even just necessarily in, you know, the firearm space, but in all of these regulatory spaces.
Like the CDC.
These agencies have so much control over daily life.
Yeah, with the rent moratorium.
Sorry, I missed that.
No, like the CDC with the rent moratorium. I mean, that's that same statutory that what you're describing just now.
Exactly. Yeah, we saw it in the CDC case. We saw it in one of the EPA cases last year. The, you know, the court has been very concerned with that. So this case really boils down to that question. What is a firearm? Congress has defined what a firearm is. And now the ATF is trying to reread and rewrite federal law, which it just doesn't have the power to do. So we look forward to the justices being able to review that particular question.
That's a really good point that you're making. And we're talking to Cody Wisniewski, who is with the Firearm Policy Coalition, their Action Foundation. And thank you for correcting me on that earlier. And obviously, right, they're plaintiffs in this. Vanderstock v. Garland is the case. The process, that the rulemaking process, because it's really ultimately more about that than anything else with this case.
Yeah, exactly. So the Administrative Procedure Act is basically the set of rules that Congress made for the agencies to be able to issue their own rules and regulations. And this is something that has had a bigger and bigger impact on our daily lives, right? So for every law that Congress actually passes, the agencies publish 100 pages of regulation in the Federal Register. And so this is really a question about the agency's power, or in this case, really their lack thereof. Congress defined firearm in a very specific way. The agency used to recognize that. The ATF used to advance the exact same interpretation that we're advancing in our case. So this isn't some crazy theory. It's what we all know the law means and what the law says. But this administration is trying to end run Congress, knows that it can't get a law passed through Congress, and so instead charged the agency with taking this tactic, which is just an attempt to legislate via an executive branch agency, which is frankly offensive.
Unconstitutional.
Unconstitutional, illegal, and that's really what is at the core of this case. So the Supreme Court is going to be dealing with this question, obviously, of the definition of a firearm. But really what that comes down to is an interpretation of federal law.
Yeah. And to your point, I mean, ultimately, it seems like, you know, previously with these cases, they lean towards, the justices lean towards allowing Congress, and whether it's, you know, the Supreme Court or lower courts, they always seem to lean towards allowing Congress to do their job and not these executive, you know, not the ATF, not these bureaucratic agencies of, you know, unelected individuals. So that's, you know, that's, you know, I like to get, I'm not an optimist, but I like to kind of be optimistic in this case. But, you know, we can still be disappointed. I mean, it is government after all. We can still be disappointed by it. What do you say that, I don't like getting people ahead over their skis on this, but, you know, say ultimately this, the justices make the determination that has fallen in line with previous determinations on this rulemaking process. That then kicks it back to Congress, correct?
Yeah, well, so it really just removes it from the agency, and that's what's important, right? So the court can strike down any parts of this rule, including the agency's attempted redefinition. And so what that really does is just says that the agency can't do what it's trying to do. If the agency wants to try again, it can, but that's what the importance of an opinion here that really limits agency authority. It doesn't necessarily force Congress to act. It certainly sends a signal that this isn't the sort of thing that the agencies can do. And so if Congress wanted to act in this space, that would be the only avenue available. Now, if Congress acted, then we would have some real Second Amendment questions that would come into play on whether this is even a law that can be passed federally.
Yeah, that's a very good point on that. We're talking to Cody Wisniewski with the Firearm Policy Coalition Action Foundation. Currently, from what I understand, the rule is allowed to remain in effect until this is determined, correct?
Correct.
So, which isn't, it's, you know, not the best, but how would this affect other cases involving, like, I look at, you know, for and I know this is a different case from yours, although I know FPC has remarked on it, Dexter Taylor in New York with the whole ghost gun case. I mean, obviously, this determination would definitely establish a precedent that would affect that case, considering it's another agency that's trying to redefine. I mean, if the definition is removed from the ATF, that ultimately takes the wind out of the sails for the state's case and with Dexter Taylor.
For Dexter, it's slightly different. So Dexter is more of a actual kind of pure Second Amendment question that's involved in his case. And of course, we've been in contact with Dexter's attorneys about his case and about that ruling, you know, before even the trial court. So it's his case is involving more of a Second Amendment question about that individual natural fundamental right to self-manufacture your own arms, which of course is a right that should not be able to be regulated by government, especially in the way that New York is regulating it. So it will definitely have an impact insofar as the topic is going to be discussed and the topic is going to be, you know, at the forefront of conversation in courts and in commentary. But it will also kind of diverge in the sense that this is a question of federal agency authority, and Dexter's case is a question, you know, more closely related to a Second Amendment claim.
I don't know if the ATF can keep getting, I mean, it's like they keep losing, like it's their job with these cases. I mean, you know, whether it's the bump stock or whether it's, I mean, they keep running up against that rule that they cannot be doing Congress's job for that. They can't be doing what they're not allowed to do and just like making up these edicts and then expecting them to have full force and effect of the law, and that everyone suffers under the penalty as though we're criminals by breaking a law that's not really a law. It's just a bureaucratic edict.
Yeah, they can't be doing what they're not allowed to do should be just the tagline
that's
of the
it,
ATF
yeah.
now. I think I might steal that. That's it, right? So, and that's where this case is going to have a really big impact. So, of course, we've got a pending case challenging the pistol brace rule as well. That's Mock v. Garland. And then, of course, the ATF just published another rule, this engaged in the business rule, that seeks to basically end private transfers. So a decision in this case will have a direct impact on those future cases. Different subsections of the law, different interpretations of federal law, but this case gives the Supreme Court an opportunity to send a very clear message to ATF that it can't be legislating, that it can't be writing rules that seek to redefine federal law and seek to make people criminals overnight. It just does not have that power.
What can people do to help with this case?
The biggest thing is just following along with our work. So you can follow along with what FPC is doing at firearmspolicy.org. You can follow along with FPC Action Foundation at fpcactionfoundation.org.
That's awesome. I appreciate what you're doing. I also appreciate the level of aggression that you all have, because I think this is an area where it's needed. I think that people have been too apathetic for too long, and we're really grateful for everything that you all do. I'd love to have you back, because I think this is coming up for SCOTUS season, like what is it, like May, June is when usually the decisions are rendered.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. We'd be happy to come back. We're going to start seeing a lot of opinions come down from the Supreme Court over the next couple of months, especially in some of these, you know, high value cases when you're talking about like Rahimi or the bump stock case. You know, we're going to start to see opinions come down.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you back. Thank you so much for joining us. Cody Wisniewski with the Firearm Policy Coalition Action Foundation. And you can follow him, The Wizard of Laws with a Z on X. Good to see you. Thanks so much. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So the rulemaking with the, and again, as we were talking about, not just the ATF, but it's also the CDC with the rent moratorium. And you have all of these bureaucratic agencies that are going way beyond their scope, way beyond their influence. And so I'm excited. I would love to see this slapped down. I don't get excited until it's done, because again, not an optimist, but hopefully this would, I mean, it's an earthquake in terms of Second Amendment legal issues.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
What's going on is a disgrace. That's interesting outside. For great Americans, people that want to come down and they want to protest at the court and they want to protest peacefully, we have more police presence here than anyone's ever seen. For blocks, you can't get near this courthouse. And yet you have nobody up at a college where you have very radical people wanting to rip the colleges down, the universities down. And that's a shame. But it all starts with Joe Biden. The signals he puts out are so bad. And I can tell you, he's no friend of Israel, that's for sure.
It's killing me. Like someone there. Come on, one of you people there, get a lapel mic for the love and put it on his lapel before he does one of those things again. Oh my gosh. I thought of that the whole, like, yeah. the time I first saw that. It just, come on, have it ready. Have him so he can just come out and do like a quick hit and then share your video. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Yeah, Robert Kraft, New England Patriots owner. He's withdrawing all financial support from Columbia University. Mm.
I've seen the stories too about students already applying for their refunds from tuition.
They ought to. Yeah, they ought to. They ought to apply for their refunds. It's ridiculous. I mean, this is, it's just, it's nonsense to see. I mean, you're at the end of the year, you got finals, and then all this stuff is happening. I wonder what the grades of these students are like. Probably not great. If this is, you know, the kind of stuff that they espouse, they don't really know the history of the area or anything like that. You know, just tonight I'm scheduled to be on with Jesse Waters in his program on Fox. So I'll let you know either Twitter or Facebook. And then again, maybe with you on air tomorrow, may not be with you on air tomorrow. I don't know until this evening because that I'm in my 2-week on call for federal jury duty. So if I'm not here tomorrow, that's why.
And I hate it.
I know. It makes it super easy when you work in broadcasting to find out the night before whether or not you're going to be on air the next day. Super great.
Sarcasm.
Yeah. Kane, today in stupidity.
All right. It is Nancy Pelosi.
She's your favorite.
I said it like that intentionally. This is her. What happened on October 7th? Do you remember that? Who stopped the ceasefire on October 7th?
Arrives with Shamas.
Oh, that's right. Shamas. But somehow she has this conclusion. Listen to this.
We reject the policy and the practice of Netanyahu. What? Terrible.
Why?
What could be worse than what he has done in
what
response?
Hamas did
first
on October 7th?
First of all, the exposure. Yeah. His intelligence person resigned. He should resign.
I mean, like raping people to death is probably... worse, you know, like parachuting in and, you know, she's, shooting up a music festival.
She's probably distracted by all the insider trading, but yeah.
Yeah, she's watching her phone for all that insider trade. That's what it is. Yeah, she's watching her stock portfolio. It's what she's doing. Folks, that does it for us today. Make sure you go sign up at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Find us YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. I'll be back maybe with you tomorrow.